Mesopotamia C, Mesopotamia Do.
Written and read by Fresney. Fandom.
We've been driving around from one end of this town to the other and back, but no one's ever seen us.
No one's ever seen us.
Driving our Econoline van, and no one's ever heard of our band. We're the Mesopotamians. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurban, Athal, and Gilgamesh. And they wouldn't understand a word we said.
Cue to a long establishing shot of the Mesopotamians happen in Ziggurat, along the banks of the Tigris. Growl, they're great, said their sponsor, Tiger Juice. This story was not filmed before a live studio audience, because a dead one was much cooler. Ashurbanipal was buried under a good book. Several good books. Actually, it was a lot of good books. He'd been trying to decide what he should read and moved a tablet right, when he should have moved it left. Or was that left, when it should have been right? Oh, whatever. The Marduk clock on the wall chimed, "Physics were many a man's enemy." The goat said, "Bah!" and chewed on the rainbow throw rug that they'd found in the garbage. In any case, the shelf had collapsed and trapped Ashurbanipal under a pile of clay tablets, clay bricks, and wood boards, scrounged from pallets behind the local trader Sakanakas. He said, "Help? Help?" Gilgamesh, who was asleep on the orange shag couch, rolled over. Ashurbanipal shrugged and picked up the nearest tablet and started reading. He was deeply engrossed in a really epic story about a boy, his dragon, and the unicorn that tried to keep them apart. When Hammurabi walked in the front door, he was holding the mail.
"Nothing but bills. We've got to stop playing for free at Sakanaka's and get a paying gig."
Hammurabi looked up.
Guys, this place is a pigsty."
He poked Gilgamesh and pointed at the chore list next to the "In Case of Fire, Dance" sign.
"When I made a list, we all agreed to follow it."
He threw up his hands and ran up the stairs. Gilgamesh went back to sleep. Ashurbanipal looked up from his tablet. "Help?" Hammurabi came back down the stairs just as Sargon slammed open the door. Hammurabi waved a white piece of paper.
"Our landlord is kicking us out if we can't pay our rent."
Sargon said, "That's a legal-looking square heading up the stairs." Hammurabi and Sargon bumped fists. Costume time! 5 seconds later, Gilgamesh woke up dressed as Noah. Hammurabi was Noah's wife in a rocker. The story of where the rocker came from was a strange one. Sargon was a 6-hour doorman. He'd been a 24-hour doorman, but couldn't take the hours. And Ashurbanipal was a tablet repairman buried under a pile of tablets. Yeah, the gag did go on too long, but Ashurbanipal liked being buried under a pile of books. The door gonged, and a straight lawyer type came in the door. He bowed, but because there was no live studio audience, there was no applause. Poor, sad lawyer. He held up an envelope and said,
"I'm here to deliver this to the Mesopotamians."
"Eh?" said Gilgamesh Noah. He held up a tin whore to his ear.
"Sonny, remember to ask for eternal youth as well as immortality." "What?"
yelled Hammurabi, Noah's wife.
"You forgot to wash the dishes, even though the list clearly said that Tuesday was your day to wash the dishes."
Ashurbanipal looked up from the floor. "Haven't seen them. Don't know where they are.
Do I even speak your language?"
Sargon saluted and went back to playing Age of Empires on his non-clay tablet. The lawyer sighed, but decided to man on.
"An eccentric millionaire was a fan of their music. He left them something in his will. I'll just leave this here."
He put the notice down and booked out of the plot. Later that night, he had a totally happening party with Helen of Sparta, on occasion of her divorce. Community property, city-state, baby! Gilgamesh pulled off his gray beard and did a little happy dance that made the little great felt pom-poms he'd embroidered on his Noah tea tunic bounce. We, like, have a fan! Sargon crossed his arms and looked down his nose at Gilgamesh. A dead fan? This is, like, totally amazing! We have a fan! Gilgamesh pulled out his phone. Amurabi asked, What are you doing? Gilgamesh tapped on his phone. Like, I'm texting my BFF, Enkidu. I've got to let him know that we've, like, got a fan. Sargon looked at Hammurabi with his eyebrows up into his hair. A dead fan? Hey, guys? Ashurbanipal held up his tablet. Did you know the Earth is round? The other three Mesopotamians turned around. Hammurabi said, What again? You have to push them to the right. They unburied Ashurbanipal from his pile of clay books. In a quick scene change, they drove across the desert in their Econoline van. Actually, this is both a scene change and a crazy musical sequence. Unfortunately, in the only recorded copy, there was a station alert, so we don't actually know what they sang or what it sounded like. But according to descriptions, a van rolled and bounced across the wide, cracked desert. It was crackin' cool. Sargon rode his board down the sandy road and waved his sword. He completely conquered the scene. Hammurabi sand-skied, not sandboarded, behind the van, which had a totally different vibe. Gilgamesh did a complicated three-spin, from where he was being pulled behind the van while wearing a bright orange life vest over his tea tunic. Ashurbanipal jumped his board over all three of the other band members and did a header in the sand. Wasn't his fault. The billy goat driving the van totally brodied to a stop in front of a giant cedar tree mansion of Lord Arata, their eccentric millionaire, dead fan. Gilgamesh did a little dance. Quick scene change to the reading of the will. Madame Lacunea, the spiritualist, Hormuz Rassam, the butler, Lord Abridged, the hanger-on, and Lord Arata's niece, Nana, a happening chick in a dress made all up of stars, all lounged on the tree mansion's living platform. Hammurabi took one look at Nana. He had stars in his eyes and love in his heart. They made out during the entire reading of the will. Lord Abridge sneered at Ashurbanipal. I cannot believe that you've actually read my useless travel books.
Yeah, well, your hair makes you look like a Mojeno Dereno.
Ashurbanipal crossed his arms and made the peace and victory sign. The lawyer, horrified to be in another scene, said,
The Mesopotamians inherit Arata's pipe alag, provided they play a musical number on it. And Nana gets the cedar tree mansion, provided she spends the night.
Madame Lucanea, Hormuz Rassam, and Lord Abridged made the international gesture of foiled out of an inheritance, but wait, evil plot. The Mesopotamians quickly played a musical number on the pipe log. But unfortunately, the crew forgot to film them. So all that you get is the sound of static. However, when it came time to go, Hormuz Rassam said,
I'm so sorry, sir, but there's a dense fog through the entire cedar forest, which will prevent you from leaving for at least 3,000 years.
Who knows?
Gilgamesh tapped on his phone to let his BFF know, but he had no signal. To repeat, no signal. It made him cry. Later on that night, as Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh slept together in a large purple shag bed, the atmosphere was creeperific. so creeperific that a large hairy monkey hand reached over the back of the bed, and they Comic Sans out the other side. They ran over a bunch of platforms and rope walk in a way that was working the Mobius Band vibe. Gilgamesh did a little dance upside down and lost his shoe. Gilgamesh hung his head like a sad sack, which since he was upside down meant he held it high. Madame Laconia met them on the third platform.
There is nothing but evil in this tree.
There was a hiss from a clump of branches behind her.
Oh, wait. That line was early. Okay, wait.
She checked her script.
I've had a vision that Hormuz Rassam will die.
Sure enough, there was the sound of gunfire. The Mesopotamians raced down the tree ladder to find a dagger embedded in the tree and a pool of ketchup on the platform. Amurabi and Nana gazed starfully into each other's eyes. Meanwhile, Sargon yelled, "Costume change!" Sargon dressed as Sherlock Holmes. "Because I'm the smartest!" Amurabi turned away from Nana. "Screw that noise. He dressed as Lord Peter Wimsey." Ashurbanipal shrugged and went with Abbasid Caliph Harun al-Rashid from 1001 Arabian Nights, the tale of the murdered woman in the chest, which he felt would honor the rich cultural history of the region and avoid making the cultural references totally Eurocentric. Tugged on his purple satin turban with the pink feather. "I'm still not quite sure of the accuracy of this outfit." No one wanted to play second fiddle as they investigated. Gilgamesh played the fiddle and was sadly nibbled on by the billy goat. Gilgamesh was sad. He had no shoe and he had no signal. He couldn't text his BFF. There was some pretty prime investigatin', which was interrupted by the disappearance of Lord Abridged. Gilgamesh shrieked, "I'm like gonna die. Oh, the shortness of, like, existence and stuff." He tried to text his BFF and was denied. Denied! Madame Lucanea tried to get them to hold a seance to scare them, but they were busy playing another musical number. Sadly, they couldn't actually get the rights to play Stairway to Heaven. So this was an entirely silent and black-and-white scene, in which the Mesopotamians acted out how a guitar could gently weep. In the morning, they all woke up in the large bed. Sargon and Hammurabi spooned. Ashurbanipal hugged a book. Gilgamesh sucked his thumb. Nana blogged the whole thing. There were three sharp clicks. They looked up to see a shocking sight. Madame Laconia, Hormuz Rassam, and Lord Abridged were pointing guns at them. Okay, it was only mildly shocking given the evil gestures earlier. Gilgamesh clapped his hands happily.
"I like thought you were dead. Yay, you're alive!" "We are not dead, but you will be, and the tree mansion will be ours!" cried Lord Abridged.
Which is when the billy goat gruffly knocked all three of them out of the tree mansion with the sharp stick in its mouth. Madame Lucanea's voice drifted up.
"Curses! Foiled by a goat with a stick!"
Yeah, well, I'll assure you, it was way funnier in cuneiform. Nana stretched her arms wide.
"Fun times. I think I'll knock the place down and build a condo with a pool."
Hammurabi spun away in horror and had a moment.
"But wait, what about the Mother Earth? We had a concert about the Mother Earth and everything. Our moms had a great time."
While he had that moment, Gilgamesh came out with a chainsaw and went to work.
"Like timber?"
He followed this with a whispered,
"I wish Enkidu were here."
The path of true love disrupted. The Mesopotamian's van rolled down the road with the pipe Elig strapped to the roof as the end credits rolled.
But no one's ever seen us,
no one's ever seen us
driving our Econoline van, and no one's ever heard of our band. We're the Mesopotamians. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. And they wouldn't understand. We're the Mesopotamians. Sorry.